God is great, greatly to be praised.
Look with me, if you will, to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. I want to read some scripture concerning a man that lived long ago named Manasseh. And you know, I'm glad that I'm a twofold being. I really am. You know, my body feels a little rough today. I just don't feel real great in the body. But my spirit is soaring. I mean, aren't you thankful that, you know, you can feel bad outwardly, but it don't affect the inward man, does it? The outward man is perishing every day, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. And the older that I get, you know, the body is weakening. I mean, the Bible teaches us that very plainly, and we feel it. But the older that I get and the closer that I get to being home with the Lord, the better my inward man feels. And I'm just glad that it is that way. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcrafts, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law, excuse me, and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought up on them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. And then just shortly after this, we read about Manasseh's death. Now, you know, there's a great change. There's a great contrast in this, in these verses that we have read. And we see a great difference in Manasseh in the last few verses that I read compared to what is said about him in the beginning of this 33rd chapter of 2 Chronicles. You know, it just seems like that Manasseh, in the first part of this that I read, in the first 11 verses, it just seemed like that Manasseh angered the Lord just about every way that you could anger him. I mean, he did just about every evil deed that he could think of. The Bible even told us here that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen. I mean, this man, you know, he did not only do evil, he really did evil. And he caused, you know, the Bible tells us here how that he influenced and he caused the people there that were under his charge. You know, he led them into evil practices as well. And then we read, there how that he began to take away those strange gods that he had brought in, and how that he took, you know, the idols that he had even brought into the house of the Lord. We read there that he took those idols out of the house of the Lord, and he began to, you know, encourage the people now to serve the true and the living God. And there's a verse in between these two, you know, in between this great change that we see in him. And in verse 12, it said, "And when he was in affliction," you know, the Lord, you know, after that, he had allowed Manasseh to go so far, he came down on him. He came down on him hard. The Lord brought upon them the captain of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. You know, you just don't continue to do evil things in the sight of the Lord and get away with it forever. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Manasseh paid the price for his evil doings. But then we find in the 12th verse that when he found himself in this situation, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. And he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And I want to share this thought with you here for just a little bit this morning about humbling yourself before God. I'm going to tell you today that if you don't do that, then you can't get anywhere with God. If you don't humble yourself, if you don't come before God as humbly as you can, then you're not going to gain any favor with God at all. I want you to think about what it means and what it was talking about when it says that he humbled himself you know, he besought the Lord and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And I don't always do this, but I want to share a definition with you today of what it means for somebody to humble themselves. It means to reduce oneself to a low state. It means to, to turn away from pride, and not only to turn away, but to crush your pride and put it completely away from you. Now, listen, everybody that has been saved by God's grace, I believe truly knows this, that when we come to God seeking the salvation of our soul, that our pride was gone, wasn't it? I mean, we did not have any pride. We were, we had to be humble before the Lord. And we find in the writings of the Apostle Peter, and we find the same thing recorded in the writings in the Epistle of James. Both James and Peter said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Who is it that receives the grace of God? It's those that humble themselves before him. We find Solomon in the Proverbs several times making mention of pride. And I want to share with you those things that he said. And I made note of these places in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, Solomon wrote and said, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. What is it that precedes in the life of a person? What is it that precedes destruction? It is pride. Pride goeth before, or it precedes destruction, and a haughty, which just means, again, a proud spirit, precedes a fall. In the sixth chapter of Proverbs, in verses 16 and 17, we're told there that a proud look is an abomination unto the Lord. Now, there are multiple things throughout the scriptures that are mentioned as being actually abominable, abominations in the sight of God, and one of those things is pride. A proud look, even, Solomon said, is an abomination unto the Lord. In the 29th proverb, in verse 23, Solomon said, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now, we have in the New Testament, we have, I believe, a great example of this that Jesus gave to us in the form of a parable. And it's recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And it's a parable about a Pharisee and a publican. And Jesus showed us in that parable what pride will do for a person. This Pharisee was filled with it. He was filled with pride. And as he stood before God in his pride, he said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as other men are, unjust, adulterers, and I'm thankful that I don't do these evil things that other men do. Essentially, what he was telling God was, I'm thankful that I'm not a sinner like everybody else is. And, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But here's this Pharisee, and I'll tell you what, Jesus, in his great wisdom, I don't think he could have chosen anybody in that parable to represent pride any more than to have chose a Pharisee, because they were filled with pride. They had so much pride in themselves. And so He essentially stands there before God. He says, I'm glad that I'm not like other men are. You know, I'm glad that I'm not unjust. I'm glad that I'm not an adulterer. Then he begins to speak to God of all the good things that he does. I fast twice in a week, and I give my tithes of all that I possess. And I'm, Lord, I'm glad that I'm not even like this publican here. Exalted himself, didn't he? And the Bible tells us that the attitude and the composure of the publican was just the opposite of what the Pharisee was. His attitude was that he would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now there's a good example right there of what it means to be humble before God. He realized and he acknowledged before the God of heaven what he was. I'm a sinner and I'm in need of mercy. The Pharisee didn't see any need of God's mercy or God's grace in his life because he thought that he was just fine the way that he was. I'm telling you that that's not true for any of us. We're not fine the way that we are. We're corrupt. We're corrupt. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that are just like the Pharisee in that parable. Do you know that? There's a lot of people in the world today that don't think they need God at all. They think that everything is fine, that they're fine just the way they are. I'm a good person. You know, I've done this and I've done that and I haven't done this and I haven't done that. Listen, it doesn't make any difference what a person has done or hasn't done. All have sinned and fallen way short of the glory of God. We've all fallen way short of the expectations of God. And we need Him. And I'm telling you that, friends, without Him, we're nothing. I'm not going to make any boasts today, whatsoever. I'm just going to tell you today that the only good thing about me is that the Lord has taken up residence in my heart. The only good thing that I believe that can be said about anybody is what God has done for that person and in that person. The Apostle Paul realized that. He said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And that's true for all of us, isn't it? We're nothing without the Lord. We can't do anything without the Lord. We don't have any hope without the Lord. If it were not for His grace, we'd have no part with Him at all. Jesus said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Until He dwells within our heart, until we have truly been born again. And I'm not talking about just merely trying to make a mental acceptance of Christ or just trying to say, yes, I'll accept Christ. I'm talking about true repentance before God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and experience the new birth where you know that the Lord spoke peace to your soul and made you one of His own. Without it, you're nothing. Without it, you don't have anything. And pride will keep you far away from God. Listen, the Bible doesn't just say that God, won't listen to the proud. It says He actually resists the proud. God actually fights against those who are proud. We have example, and I could take a long time because there's many examples in the scriptures of people that did just exactly what Solomon spoke about in Proverbs. They took a great fall because they were lifted up with pride. And God just cannot have anything to do with it. I'm telling you, if you're ever going to be saved by the grace of God, you're going to have to humble yourself before the Lord. You're going to have to realize what you are before Him. And thank God that He helps us with that. Thank the Lord for conviction wrought by the Holy Spirit, whereby God shows us what we really are. I'll tell you what, when the Lord gives you a real good look at yourself, it's not hard to let go of that pride then, is it? I mean, when He shows you where you really stand, you remember back in the 70s, the man, I believe his name was Mac Davis, if I remember right, he made popular a song back in the 70s, "Oh, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Remember that song? Yeah. Stupidest song ever wrote, wasn't it? Well, none of us are going to have any problem then evidently being hungry because I'm going to tell you what, none of us are perfect in every way. In fact, honestly, none of us are perfect in any way. And so we shouldn't have any problem being humble before God. And that's exactly what He showed us. I know that's what He showed me. I'll let you speak for yourself. But I know that that's what God showed me when He convicted me of my sins. He showed me, He gave me firsthand knowledge that I was far from being perfect. He showed me the sinner that I was. Has God done that for you? Has He showed to you the sinner that you truly are? Are you proud today? How important is humility in our lives? The Apostle Peter exhorted for us to be clothed with humility, to wear it like a garment, and not to just act like it, but to actually be humble, to actually be clothed with humility. If you've got pride in your heart, if you approach the Lord for the salvation of your soul with pride in your heart, you're not going to get there. I'm telling you, as you know, once that we have been saved, we cannot serve God with pride in our heart. And both of those things are proven to us time and time again in the Scriptures. If you want a child of God to become ineffective in the service of the Lord, if you want a child of God to become ineffective with His witness in winning other people, you just let that person be lifted up with pride. God won't have anything to do with them. In the 138th Psalm, 6th verse, it says, Though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud, listen, don't ever kid yourself. God can see your pride. It says, but the proud He knoweth afar off. Those who are, coming before Him with pride, God can see it far from in the distance. He can see it. He knows our hearts. He knows when we've humbled ourselves before Him. He knows if we haven't humbled ourselves before the Lord. Well, I'm finished. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Let me tell you something. I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. The Bible tells us about how that God remembers us in our low estate. When I was seeking the Lord to be saved, I'm talking about the night that I got saved. Down on my knees, crying out with you know, from the depths of my heart to a holy God. That was the lowest that I've ever been in my life. That was the lowest state that I've ever been in. When God saved me, that's the highest that I've ever been. Nothing else has ever lifted me up like the salvation of my soul. But God brought me to the lowest point that I had ever been in. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to humble yourself before the Lord. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In finishing the parable, before we have a song, in finishing the parable about the Pharisee and the publican, Jesus told us that after the publican would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Because whoever exalts himself shall be abased or brought down, but whoever humbles himself shall be exalted or lifted up. If you want to find the Lord, you're going to have to humble yourself before him. Let's have a song. I appreciate your attention.